KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for another edition of Happy Trails as we keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system all throughout Humboldt County. We're getting closer to that all the time. We also look at opportunities to get out in the great outdoors. That's a lot of what we are looking at today. Michael Kaufman and I are talking with Ryan Henson of CalWild. Tell us about what CalWild is all about. And also his role on an amazing bipartisan bill that just recently passed. And just the fact that it was bipartisan made news. All right. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, indeed. Ryan, thanks for taking the time to talk with us this morning. So what is CalWild?
Well, we're a nonprofit conservation organization based in Oakland, but we have staff throughout the state. I, for example, live over in Shasta County. I get over to Humboldt a lot. I'm a Willits boy originally, so I love the North Coast. Mm-hmm. And I get to work around the state, and I have coworkers down in Sacramento and L.A. counties and Ventura counties as well. So we're based in Oakland, but we cover the state. And we're a small nonprofit that really focuses on the 42% of California that is, and a lot of folks don't know this, but 42% of California is actually managed by the federal government, by three agencies, the U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, and the National Park Service. And we kind of watchdog how those three agencies manage that 42% of the state.
That's actually a good point. And you think of California, you think of one of the most populous states in the union, which it is, but it's also very large, and a good chunk of it is open space.
It really is, mm-hmm. Yes. And especially as you get out toward the desert, you know, you get, I mean, the majority of the land, and even in a place like Trinity County, the majority of the land is actually owned by the federal government.
Hmm. Did not know that.
So, Ryan, I know you just got back from a well-deserved vacation. Why don't you tell us, since you brought up the desert, tell us how the desert's doing right now.
Well, the desert, the California desert, is one of those places that is majority government-owned, and the reason for that is that back in the homestead days, the homesteaders, the pioneers, looked at the desert and said, I'm not going to homestead here. And so the government basically got kind of stuck with a lot of land that no one wanted. Well, over the decades, people realized that we have a true treasure on our hands. And a lot of that land became some of our most iconic national parks, like Death Valley and Joshua Tree and the Mojave National Preserve. But a lot of them remained under the management of the Bureau of Land Management. And the BLM, like the Forest Service and other agencies, they struggle to figure out what balance of uses is best, how much mining should be allowed, how much solar energy development should be allowed, which, even though it's green energy, really does kind of destroy the entire landscape, you know, because you've got to bulldoze everything to put up solar panels. And so, yeah. You know, how much off-road vehicle use, you know, dirt biking and stuff should be allowed. You know, how much land should be protected in a natural state? These are questions that the Bureau of Land Management in the desert has struggled with since the 1950s, and conservationists like us have you know, been calling on the agency to protect the most sensitive desert lands. And so 11 years ago, Senator Feinstein called together the members of the off-road vehicle community, people who enjoy riding Jeeps and motorcycles and dune buggies and things like that out in the desert, and conservationists like myself and wildlife advocates and stuff, and also Native American tribes and others, called us all together and said, I want to do a recreation and conservation bill for the desert. And you people who don't get along, I want you all to work together on this bill.
Wow.
So she put us in a room. She forced us to work together. And it took about a year for us to come up with this compromise vision. And it was a very painful compromise. For example, the off-road vehicle folks got 200,000 acres to permanently set aside for their recreation. And there are some people in the environmental community, I'm not one of them, but there are some people in the environmental community who just have a real problem with anybody riding a dirt bike anywhere. So there are people who think that's an inappropriate use of public land. But then in exchange for that 200,000 acres of for them to play on, we got 375,000 acres of wilderness. And wilderness is the most protected kind of federal land you can have. It gets protected in its natural state in perpetuity by Congress. And no kind of development, no vehicle use or anything is allowed in there. The only thing you can do is hike, ride horses, you know, do kind of non-industrial, sustainable kind of recreation. So we got 375,000 acres of that. And then in addition, the majority of the desert will now be off limits to mining, which is pretty important because mining, federally subsidized sort of welfare mining, that is mining subsidized by the government, often foreign mining companies, like Canadian mining companies, mm-hmm. would be the most common, go down to the desert and for just a few dollars an acre can stake claims on vast stretches of land at the public expense and take the gold or whatever and leave behind a big mess for the public to clean up. And that will now be closed down by this bill. So those are just a few of the many provisions in this bill. I mean, just random stuff like, I shouldn't say random, but I mean, it's got all sorts of miscellaneous provisions like one that would require the Bureau of Land Management to identify all wildlife migration corridors in the California desert and come up with ways to make sure that those corridors, those migration paths don't get severed by, you know, highways or development or whatever. I mean, that's kind of revolutionary. We've never I've never worked on legislation before where we looked at wildlife migration across the landscape. So pretty exciting stuff. And Congressman Paul Cook, who's a Republican, carried the bill in the House of Representatives. And then, of course, Senator Feinstein is a Democrat. And so it was a bipartisan bill. And it took 11 years to pass, mostly through government dysfunction rather than through any kind of problem with the bill. Our government has been very terribly divided over the last decade.
Hadn't noticed.
Yeah. And they haven't been that great at getting things done. And so this really took a lot of folks by surprise. And this desert bill is attached to a bill called the Public Lands Bill that has 100 different bills in it. This desert bill is just one of them. It's one of the bigger ones, but it's like this package of bills. And another exciting aspect it will directly impact Humboldt County, including trails in Humboldt County, is something called the reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Now, our government extracts billions, literally billions of dollars from oil leasing off of our coast on government-owned waters. And Congress, a long time ago in the 70s, decided that a small slice of that publicly owned wealth should go to our public lands, to benefit our public lands. And they allow up to $900 billion to go back to benefiting our public lands. Congress, though, never appropriates that amount of money. $900 million. Instead, Congress usually appropriates about half that, $450 million or so. But that's better than nothing. And right now, mostly our public, like your local Arcata Bureau of Land Management that runs Headwaters Forest Reserve mm-hmm. and the King Range, they're broke. They rarely have any money. They do the best they can on a shoestring. These Land and Water Conservation Fund monies are very important. And this bill that will be signed into law here will permanently reauthorize that fund and provide millions of dollars every year for, you know, not only your local Bureau of Land Management, but the National Park Service, the Forest Service, and the BLM nationwide.
Let's talk about just the historic nature of this bill passing, because, as you mentioned, government is extremely divided right now and is not getting much done. But this overwhelmingly passed. What were the numbers?
Yeah, I believe that in the Senate, and I could be wrong, but I believe that in the Senate, out of 100 votes, I believe eight voted against it.
Hmm.
And, you know, one of them was like Rand Paul, who doesn't believe in government. You know, that's
right.
So you'll never get his vote. They were mostly kind of extreme ideologue, kind of, we don't believe in government.
I always think it's kind of funny that someone who works for government doesn't believe in government.
I know. That's the irony, but, you know.
Give back the paycheck.
If you're there to protect millionaires, that's your real job, I guess. So, so there were only eight that voted against it in the Senate. And in the House, it was extremely small, the number who voted against it. I can't remember how many, but I did notice that they had enough votes to override a presidential veto if the president vetoes this.
Wow.
Now, I don't think he's going to veto it. This bill has many Republican sponsors. So, the new senator from Utah who replaced Orrin Hatch and who ran for president a few years ago, Romney.
Romney, huh?
Senator Romney has a bill in there. There's many Republican bills in there. So this larger package of bills that the Desert Bill is part of is also bipartisan, and so I think he'll definitely sign it.
Well, it's not an extremely controversial bill. There's nothing to do with any walls, so I think it'll kind of get by without a lot of notice. I don't think this would be even attempted to be vetoed. But it's very exciting. I mean, the fact that it passed so overwhelmingly, that in and of itself made national news when that happened. And it must have been pretty exciting to be a part of this, huh?
To be honest, it hasn't sunk in yet. You know, this should be the pinnacle of my career. This bill will protect more acres than any of the five bills I've worked on that have been signed into law. But it feels more like a Tuesday. And so,
well, it is Tuesday.
I guess.
Yeah, so there you go.
So I think it's going to hit me maybe at the victory party, maybe when we go out to one of the places that's protected and I kind of get down and feel the sand and look at the, you know, desert tortoise or whatever and think, wow, you know, your habitat's protected. I mean, maybe it'll sink in there, you know, rather than just staring at my computer.
Here's the cliff notes from the website. 350 miles of wild and scenic rivers, 2,600 miles of federal trails. And I'd like to, expand on that if you can. And then 700,000 acres of new recreation and conservation areas, including 370,000 acres in Montana that will be restricted from mineral development. So that's just amazing numbers there. So could you just briefly talk about some of the trails, these federal trails?
Yeah.
If you know much about it, Ryan.
Most of them are in other states, so I can't tell you much about them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many, I noticed, trail provisions in the bill, including national trails and historic trails. One of them in California is a trail along the Colorado River. It's actually kind of a system of trails that are kind of braided together, and they're ancient Native American trails that go from Searchlight, Nevada, down to Baja, California. And the government will be required to map and come up with a management plan for maintaining that trail. And and then those of us who aren't Native American will actually realize where it is for the first time and can actually start to hike it ourselves. And and that's just one of the many new trail opportunities. A couple other things that the bill will do for California that I left out. One of them is, you know, in L.A. County back in the Depression era,
mm-hmm.
they built a dam called the St. Francis Dam on San Francisquito Creek, with my great Spanish, and that dam failed, and it sent a cascade of water downstream that killed thousands of people.
Mm.
And the city and the county, most of them were migrant farm workers working sleeping in the fields at night, you know, and then working during the day. And the city and the county and Mulholland, the very powerful water baron of L.A., they all kind of tried to cover it up, not a lot was ever done. There was no formal recognition for any of the people killed by this dam or anything. So
wow.
This bill will create a memorial at the dam site, which is still there. There's going to be a trail system. Ironically, a bunch of endangered species have moved into the old dam site, and so there will be both a natural and cultural interpretation, and there's going to be a permanent memorial to the dead at this site as well. So that's that's just one of the small things that the bill will also do for California.
That's pretty cool. And just, Ryan, real quick, earlier when we were talking about this, the desert, what desert are we talking about that where all these acres are protected and that recreational area was created?
Yeah, good question. So California has four deserts. The Great Basin, okay, which is east of the Sierra and up near Susanville and stuff. Mm-hmm. The Sonora, which is our southernmost, right on the border with Mexico. That's the driest with the least vegetation. Then we got the Mojave, which has got the richest plant diversity, and it's our largest desert in the state. And finally we have the Colorado Desert, which goes into Arizona, and mm-hmm. So those are the desert ecosystems, and each one is very different, and I do violence to them by just calling them the desert. But folks might be familiar with the plant called the Joshua tree,
sure,
which is iconic of the Mojave. Whenever you see a Joshua tree growing, you know you're in the Mojave Desert and not in the Sonora or Colorado.
Yeah, they actually only grow in a very, very small latitude, altitude. So it's
they do.
Yeah, it's very unique. Very unique. So again, which desert are we talking about for the protection?
I'm sorry, all of them. All of them.
All
of them are going to benefit, but especially the Mojave.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic.
Well, great work, Ryan. I'd like to just say thank you and congratulations. It's just pretty amazing to see this something like this happen in this current state of affairs, I feel like. So.
Well, you know, I'd like to end on a real hopeful. I mean, well, I guess that this has been positive, but mm-hmm. I'd like to be even extra positive and say this, that the disunity and dysfunction in D.C. is actually not matched in the field. When I talk to loggers, when I talk to miners, when I talk to off-roaders, I find more common ground on issues than I do talking to any politician usually. And I find that normal, regular people out in the field, out in California, tend to be more on the same page than folks in D.C. And I really do honestly believe that this is just the first of what will be many emerging consensuses about what to do with our public lands here in California, because people really aren't at loggerheads like some folks make us sound.
Maybe we can sort of use what was done there for the desert as a model and take politicians from polar opposites, throw them in a room and say, you don't get to walk out of this room until you come up with a solution.
I like that. The Feinstein method.
We'll just call that the Feinstein method. There you go. I kind of like it. It was an interesting way of doing it, and it seems to have paid off.
Absolutely. And she made it clear that there was no side deals. We couldn't say we can't get along with these people, senators, so you just work with us. No. We either worked with them or we didn't get anything.
That's really kind of wonderful. Kind of a wonderful thing. Good to see.
Tough love.
Uh-huh. All right, well, thank you both. Ryan, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to chat with us about this, and congratulations on all the hard work.
Well, thank you, and mm-hmm. thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and thanks to the great Michael Kaufman for all the amazing work he continues to do.
Well, thanks, Ryan.
And to the
look forward to working on more of this stuff with you in the future. We got to get that
back
out.
At you.
Absolutely. And to the great Michael Kaufman, I thank you for pulling all this together. Really appreciate
thanks
that.
A lot, Cliff.
You got
well,
it.
Have a great day.
You got it. This conversation on Happy Trails, you will find podcasts shortly at iTunes and at khum.com. Just look for Happy Trails.
Happy Trails to you.